Before you take your seat, just turn to someone close to you, say, be empowered. Say, be empowered. Ask someone close to you, have you been empowered? Say, brother, have you been empowered? Sister, have you been empowered? Be empowered. Take your seat and jam those hands to the glory of God. Amen. If you are happy, if you're happy once again to be in the presence of God, jam those hands to the glory of God. Amen. All right, I want to use this moment to really appreciate our daddy in the Lord. You know, he has a liberal heart. He's always on the side to see us grow. Amen. The Lord will continue to bless him. Pastor Olumide Jesus David, the Lord will bless you also. Amen. You seated here, the Lord will bless you. As many genuinely connected to this empowerment program, the Lord bless them all. Can we say shalom to the bride of Christ worldwide? Can we say shalom to all our online brethren? Amen. All right, I just want to take a topic. I titled it here, Be Empowered Against Sin. Be empowered against what? Sin. Amen. Actually, right now, some person may have, center their mind on one particular thing. Amen. Whatever that does not glorify God is a sin. It encompasses whatever that does not glorify God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be empowered against sin. You know, the definitions of empowerment. Empowerment is an authority given to someone to do something. And sin is the act of breaking a moral law or doing something that is considered wrong. It is also an action, feeling, or thought that goes against God's standard. Amen. Whatever that goes against God's standard is sin. Some may even think it's all about defilement. Fornication, whatever that goes against God's standard is what? It is sin. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, and it says, righteousness does what? Exalt a nation. But sin is what? Sin is a reproach. Let's also turn to the book of Romans chapter 6. I will read from verse 12. Romans chapter 6 from verse 12. Amen. Because the greatest challenges of man is the ability to live above sin. Amen. God never had problem with Adam in the Garden of Eden until Adam disobeyed God. And that's the only problem we have been experiencing. None of us is supposed to lack anything. None of us is supposed to complain. God has everything in his storehouse. Is it not? If I'm not mistaken, it's in Psalm 51, verse 10. It said, all the beasts of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Amen. God has everything. We are not supposed to even complain of anything. Amen. Whatever we need as human is in God's storehouse. But the only thing that is denying us of our blessing is sin. And one cannot really say, I am a child of God, until you are able to war against sin. Amen. One cannot really say, I am a child of God, I am a son of God, until you hate sin. The level you hate sin determines your relationship with God. Amen. So be empowered against sin. Because in this empowerment, You know, some will receive different empowerment. Don't be surprised. In this empowerment, someone can buy jets. Amen. So it means the person has been empowered financially. Amen. In this empowerment, someone can get married. Amen. So it means someone has been empowered to marry. Isn't it? In this empowerment also, God can empower one to live a righteous life. Amen. So when we are talking about empowerment, it's all-round empowerment. Amen. And from the beginning of this program, people have really been testifying. So Romans chapter 6 from verse 12. And it says, let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. It says, neither yield your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, the last, it says, for sin shall not have dominion. Amen. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of bull, neither by the blood of goats and calf, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. These issues of sin is very, very important. Because if you are talking about the gospel and sin is not mentioned, then it's not the gospel of Christ. Amen. If we are talking about the gospel of Christ and we don't do away with sin, then it is another gospel. Hallelujah. And this empowerment started in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. Let's say Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou? He said, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Shall receive what? Shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, and in what? Judea, in Samaria, in bright assembly in Jeshua, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. The power the apostles they received in the upper room, and in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, you all know, all the preachers here, they have said everything. Amen. They have preached all the preachers from day one. It's just for me to just say small thing. Amen. And the power they received in the upper room, it was the power to live above sin. Amen. The reason why I say so is because all the apostles that were in the upper room, none of them go back to sin. None of them go back to sin. There was no record that any of them go back to sin. Amen. They were empowered to live a righteous life. I will not forget this story where my sister told me some few months ago, a few years ago. He said there was an anointed man of God in Assemblies of God Church, because my family, they are Assemblies of God members. So that the man in his office, he will be sleeping with girls. And after sleeping with girls, he will come out and anointing will take place. You will see anointing. And he has been doing like that. Then a day came. He was sober. He said, God, why? I just slept with one sister now in the office and I'm ministering, anointing is taking place. Why? He was praying. He was sober. He was heartbroken. And the Lord spoke to him and said, because he was mightily anointed, the Lord said, my word say where two or three are gathered. That was the response from God to him. Say, my word say where two or three are gathered, I am there in their midst. But as for you, you have no part with me. Amen. As for you, you have no part with me. But anywhere people are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Amen. So that is why it is very, very important. It is very, very crucial for we to live a life pleasing unto God. Amen. That is when we can say we are children of God. That is when we can say we are daughters of God. That is when we can say we are child of God. So the empowerment they received in the upper room, it was an empowerment to live above sin. There are some certain levels we won't be able to get to until we do away with sins. Amen. Anointing, anyone can receive anointing. Anointing can come to anyone, but there are standards one cannot get to except we live a holy and a righteous life. Until we are empowered against sin. Amen. For example, there are so many Matthias that died in the history of the book of the Matthias. There are so many saints that died. And now, most of them, they had opportunity to live. They will say, please denounce Jesus Christ and you will live. They'll say, no. No. And when I sat down to think, to meditate, I was able to see that these people, they were living a life without sin. Amen. What they have encountered was more than living here on earth. Amen. And some of them will say, deny, like I forgot the name of this man where, I forgot his name. He said he has served God for about 70-something years old. Polycarp, thank you, my pastor. And that God has never denied him. That why can he betray his master? Because they heard he was a servant of God. And they sent higher killers. Let me use it like that way. Higher killers to come and, kill him. And he tried to escape, but he was being discovered by a little child. He said, look at where he's hiding. They brought him out. And they asked him to deny Christ. That if he denied Christ, they would let him go. He said, my Lord, who has been so good to me for this 70-something years, how can I deny him now? And they now tie him to a stake. They pin wood, they tie him. They set wood around him. And he was telling that they should not tie him to the stick, that he has strength to stand. And they put him close to that stick. They set fire. The fire was burning, but the flame couldn't get to him. So one of the higher killers, let me use it, now use the sword and pierce him and kill him. There were men and women that died. There's another woman also that was pregnant. They put her in the prison. Put her in the prison. They asked her to deny Christ. She refused. She delivered in the prison. Injured with blood. Amen. Injured with blood. Even the father was telling her, denounce Christ. She refused. And she was beheaded. What a love. Deny Christ and you will take care of this, your newborn baby. But she said no. She rather die than to deny Christ. Amen. So such life is the life of those that have gone away with sin. They can't, there's nothing like sin recorded in their lives. Hallelujah. There is no atom of sin in their blood. Because to really be empowered, the empowerment is to live above sin. It's to live above sin. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. When you have been empowered above sin, there is no glorious life you won't be able to live for God. In Acts chapter, after they have received the empowerment to live a holy life, because the kingdom we belong is the kingdom that, rules in righteousness. After they have been empowered in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they were going to the temple to worship, and they met a man that was lame from his mother's womb. You already know the story. Can we see Acts chapter 3 from verse 1? Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hours of prayer, being the night hour. And a certain lame man, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Whom seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he stood, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And after that, there was persecution. Amen. After that, there was persecution. Now, Peter said, look on us. And in the race of ministry, it will get to a point you will not say, I joined grace with my sister. Amen. You have to speak on yourself, on your behalf. It was Peter and John that went there, but he said, look on us. Amen. Look on us. And he said, silver and gold I have not. He did not say, silver and gold we have not. Silver and gold I have not, but such I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen. If we are able to live a life pleasing unto God, there is no amount of power that won't be able to command. Amen. Some of us, we are where we are today because of sin. We fall into sin today, tomorrow, we live a righteous life, we fall. Maybe the steps God ordained for you is about 10 steps to get to where he wants to use you, and the whole world will hear about you. You have climbed 1 step, 2 step, 3 step, 4 step, 5 step. Sin will come. You fall down, bagada. To number 1 step again. Amen. Because sin never leave anyone the same. If you miss sin, you will not go the same. If sin meets you, you will never go the same. Hallelujah. So sin never meet anyone and the person goes the same way. Because of time, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Because this period that we are now, it is period we can pray. Father, empower me to overcome sin. The beginning of this program, our daddy has been talking about weakness. Deal with your weakness. Deal with your weakness. And I was like, wow, this message is directly to me. Amen. Some of us, we say, an evil uncle don't want me to succeed, an evil auntie. There is no evil uncle anywhere to a man that is living a righteous life. There is no evil auntie anywhere than for a sister that is living a holy and righteous life. I sat down in the house one day, I was meditating, and I discovered that the reason why an evil uncle will have power over a man is because of an arrow of sin. Amen. An arrow of sin or an arrow of unrighteousness. Maybe the uncle have fired an arrow of masturbation against that sister. Anytime the brother or sister masturbate, remain the same point he or she is. Is an evil uncle troubling you? Yes. If you see a prophet, will they see that an evil uncle is troubling you? Yes, they will see. But the only right that evil uncle have over you is that masturbation. Is that fornication. In as much as you are still in that fornication, you must see an evil uncle there. Amen. But when you are delivered, because that is a link. When he wants to fire the arrow, that is what is drawing the arrow closer to the person. But you are able to cut off from it, no matter the arrow he fire, it won't be able to get to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this time around is time also we use and pray and be sincere. Father, give me grace to overcome this. Give me grace to overcome that. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16 says, these 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look. You know, I remember years ago, I thank God for Berea Assembly. Berea Assembly is a very unique church. It's a church with love. I entered one department, I was like, wow, is this like this church used to be? And that was healing and deliverance. Amen. I've been saying it severally among them 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I said, wow, I entered this department, see love, love. You will just be among sisters and you'll be laughing. Just be among brothers, you'll be laughing. Years ago, I was in one church in First Star, Fifth Avenue, Reformed Family. And sometimes the pastor will say, can you shake your neighbor? Can you shake? I know we'll be shaking people just the same way we do in Bride Assembly. Then there is a particular woman. Each time I want to shake her, she will remove her hand. If I want to shake her, she will remove her hand. And I was worried. When I got home, I said, what have I done to this woman? What did I do to this woman? Not one Sunday, not except pastor didn't say, shake your neighbor. If pastor ever make mention, say, can you have a handshake with your neighbor? That woman, if you get to my tongue, she will just turn. So one day, I was still worried praying, and I had a dream. God shows me that woman belongs to Marine Kingdom. So from that day, I never complained again. I said, no wonder. Amen. Because if we belong to the same kingdom, there won't be any fights. There won't be any quarreling. And from that day, if I see anybody that is just seeing me for the first time, not doing anything to you, you hate me, I would liken that person to be like that woman. Amen. Maybe not that woman. Because you will see some persons that they don't know anything about you. They will just see you for the first time and they will hate you. As if they can create you. Amen. Everybody has time in life. That your sister now is putting on one shoe does not mean her shoe will not change tomorrow. Amen. That your brother does not, a situation around him is not palatable. That doesn't mean that that's how he will remain. Amen. Seeing someone for the first time and there is an anger. You just hate the person for nothing. Amen. As if the person have killed you. It is wrong. It is totally wrong. Like in our prayer bank, we don't have sisters that does not greet each other. We say it every day. If you are here, you don't greet, I beg, we pursue you, they go. Because what's the essence? We are brethren and we don't greet. We are brethren and we are gossiping one another. We are brethren and you hate somebody. You are brethren and, you know, your heart is full of hatred. It is totally wrong. Amen. Anyone that sees somebody for the first time, you hate him and see you are his God. You have not been born again. You don't even have the Spirit of God in you. Our pastor taught us on Sunday. Amen. You know, in his teaching, he let us understand. They said we are the woman of Samaria claims to be a Jew. Amen. He claims, but it's not. He has nothing to do with the Jew, but he claims. So there are people that also claim to be a Christian, but they're not Christian. When once there is an hatred in your heart against somebody, maybe you see someone succeeding and you are angry. Because this empowerment against sin is not all about fornication. It's also all about hatred. Amen. Someone's success will just make you as if you want to run mad. So how can you be successful? One day I saw a brother dress well. You know, if you see the dressing, the dressing was something else. And I said, brother, you look very good. You look very good. And I said up to three times, the brother turned and looked at me. I said, brother, do you want this shirt? I said, the shirt, fine, no, but I don't want that. He said, I will give it to you. Do you want it? I said, no. Amen. When you see good things in the life of people and you encourage them, that same thing will come to you. Amen. It will come to you. In those days, my mother, there's something she used to do. When they are building a new house in our place, she will buy drink and give them. When she come home, she say, God, see you. This drink where I buy now from my mind, and I know verse. Not be saying when one of my children will be building tomorrow, you know, somebody will come, you know, against them. She always say it. Amen. She always said, I'm doing it with free mind. Not as if now when it is my turn, now somebody will not rise against me. So the empowerment against sin is all round. It's all what? It's all round. Hallelujah. Let's look at that proverb again. Because of time, that proverb again. Proverbs 6. And it said, this 16 does the Lord hate? Yes, 7 are an abomination. Okay, let's read on. Let's read on, please. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that share innocent blood. Verse 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false weakness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Amen. He that soweth what? Discourse among brethren. There are some that are in some department. If they have not caused trouble, you will not notice that they are there. They must jam head together. Amen. But at the end, there is nothing you achieve from it. They must make sure if there is a peace among brothers and sisters. No. They must make sure they are the one in control. They must make sure they notice them. They must turn one head to another. If they have been in that department, nobody recognizes them, they will by themselves showcase. They will want to be recognized by creating one problem or the other. You see, because of time, one of the things that I really want to share, does anyone have phone there? Put on the torch and bring it. Put on the torch and bring it. Torch of the phone. Okay, yes, my pastor. Let it be two. Thank you. I want to do an illustration. Let it be two. Two light on. Amen. The reason why we must really come against sin. Thank you, sir. Amen. My prophet and my pastor have handed over the phone. So let me do it. Amen. One day I was worried in the house. And I asked God a question. God, will I ever become anything in this life? There are two questions I've really asked God in my life. And I'm not saying asking God question is good. But that was in ignorance. The first question was this. I told God, I said, God, if you have called me to serve marine, to serve witchcraft, just tell me. I will do it faithfully. Amen. I will do it faithfully. And that period, I had a revelation that I saw. I was among people like trying to do a crusade. And suddenly the gen we were using, you know, break down. And we started running. Ah, how come? So it was now power between us and marine. And we see ourselves fighting them, throwing something like to the river. And when I woke up from that revelation, I understood that God has not called me to serve marine kingdom. Amen. Another one was, I said, God, will I ever, because the situation was not palatable. It was very difficult. And I said, Father, will I ever become anything in life? And that night, an angel appears to me and told me, if only you stop committing sin. Amen. If only you stop committing sin, that's when you will be what I have ordained you to be. So it is not a bad and evil uncle anywhere. When a righteous man, a righteous son of God, a child of God is praying, there are legions of heaven that want to carry out the assignment. There are angels that want to carry out the assignment. The reason why sometimes we pray, my enemy die. A righteous man and a person who is living a holy life, you know, abstain from sin. Any day he provoke and say, my enemy die, somebody must die that day. Amen. Somebody must die that day. A man living life pleasing unto God and his heart is after God, then somebody is troubling. If he open mouth, an angel will carry out assignment immediately. But the reason why we say die sometimes is because we that are said dying, we are not living a life pleasing unto God. Amen. A sinful person is saying die. And the uncle is saying, I have already fired spirit of fornication into you. Now you go die. Amen. In as much as you are still committing fornication, now you go die. And the person said, you must die. He said, you go die. So now, who will kill who? Amen. Who will kill who? So, and after them, I still see myself in sin. And the Spirit of God was telling me this thing I want to show you now. And the Spirit of God, the angel of God was ministering to me that everyone born to the earth, that is how their light shines. Amen. I was in the room while I was receiving this, that everyone born to this earth, this is how their destiny shines. Because no one should be comfortable in sin. Even if we are still praying, Father, empower me above this weakness. No one should rejoice in sin. Because sin will never take anyone far. He said, this is how the light of everyone born to this earth is. Can someone help me hold the mic? That this is how the light of everyone born on earth is. But when you commit sin, there is something that covers the light. Now, it's because, maybe you're not seeing very, let's do it this way. You can still see, I don't know, I thought you can still see, are you seeing any reflection? Okay, there's a reflection, something I just covered. Can someone get me an handkerchief again? Thank you, my pastor. You commit another sin, another one covered. Are you still seeing it? Is the light coming out again? Are you still seeing reflection of the light? Small. All right, can someone bring me another handkerchief again? My prophet. All right, when you commit another sin again, something covers. That doesn't mean the light is not shining, but something has covered the light. Now, are you still seeing the light? We must bring our handkerchief until I demonstrate. Bring our handkerchief. Bring me your handkerchief or wrapper. Amen. All right, so committing sin again, you know, something will cover. Are you still seeing the reflection? That is how we covered our own grace. That is how. Now, you may be thinking, hey, yes, you will go somewhere, they say, they cover you, but now you cover yourself. That is the reason why. But like in an empowerment like this, why praying? By God's mercy, this one can pull off. But there is no guarantee that it will pull off. That's why it is not good to focus on sin. But it is only by the grace of God. And now while praying in this empowerment, this one will pull up. Amen. And while still praying also, Father have mercy, this one will pull up. Amen. That's when you start receiving small, small favor. Maybe nothing they happened before. Anywhere you go, they even pursue you. They bring your CV, they throw it back to you. But when you start removing it like this, favor will be coming. Amen. And you'll just be serving God one day. You begin to receive breakthroughs, anointing, because the sin has been pulled off. My pastor, thank you. You say your meekness. My pastor wants to say something. Pastor, you say, my prophet. Prophet, you say something.
I'm a witness to what he demonstrated now.
Amen. Can you jam your hands to the glory of God? Can you jam your hands? It's a weakness. Amen. So that is why it's good to do everything to war against sin. To fight sin. No man is in sin and is greater than sin. You can never be in sin and you are greater than sin. It's not possible. All the price to live a righteous life has already been paid on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And sometimes what we keep hearing is what lawyers also sing. Some of our friends, nothing concerns them. Sister, let's pray now. Brother, how far? Like I was advising some sisters, was it yesterday? I said, please, like when I traveled this year, I was telling my sister, look for something and do. Look for something and do. If there is a situation in the family, I'm able to raise 10,000, this one raise 10,000, this one raise 10,000, we will solve the problem. Because there is no poor family anywhere. It is only poor mentality. It is only people that refuse to take steps. Amen. You will see somebody and say, then tie me. Okay, for example, if they tie your marriage, then tie your hand not to walk. The enemy cannot tie every aspect of you. It's not possible. Amen. The enemy cannot tie every aspect of you. They may have tied the marriage that you will not marry. That doesn't mean you will marry. It is a time. God is working out everything for your good. But as they tied the marriage, they didn't tie your hand not to walk. Not be so. They didn't tie your mouth not to pray. They didn't tie your brain not to think. So it means the enemy cannot tie the complete sense of woman. It's not possible. If they tie you here, you'll be succeeding here. They try to hinder you here, you'll be succeeding here. Until the appointed time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, because it's not only war against it's not only sin of the body. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Amen. Whatever that does not meet up to God's standard, it is sin. If our mind is not being renewed also, it is also a sin. Amen. We are not having a productive thinking. I know of a brother, the only time he complains is when there is no food. You will see man go to rake. You go to complain. You go to complain. Hey, you go teach someone to do any action. By the time a plate of food arrives, and there is a meat on it. Oh, my. After he finished eating that food, he has forgotten about his problem. Amen. Until when he's hungry again. I'm telling you a life story. Until when he's hungry again. The only time he complains is when he's hungry. There is nothing that tells him that no, there ought to be a change in life. When he's hungry, complain, come. When they put food, most especially when meat is in that food. Oh, you will be eating and be talking. You will be eating. You will know that as if this one is made for food alone. Amen. And there are persons that even if you bring a cow head, they will abandon the food. Because what they are thinking is about food. Amen. This one is food that is making him happy. But this one is not food. He's thinking, how would my condition change? How will I be a better person? He's hearing good news concerning this person. Oh, I just heard that this one graduated. He's now a doctor. I just heard that this happened. I just heard that. He's also thinking, his brain is working. How would my own life get better? How will I be able to move forward? By this thinking, an angel will now appear. Say, my son, my daughter, take these steps. My son and my daughter, take these steps. Because without productive thinking, such solution cannot come. Which angel will appear to a man that is only happy when there is food? Amen. Which angel will appear to that person? When there is only food, that's when he's happy. The mind is not productive. He's not thinking of what can I do? What can I? Why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? There are men that have cried in the midnight and said, Father, why am I like this? Father, help me. It is only you that can deliver me. While some things are not really happening and only what they know is to laugh. Laugh. You are talking with them, you will not hear anything as if a productive thinking or a productive mindset. You will not hear it. Funny things. How far now? How you day? How far? How you day? As if how far and how you day can change anybody's life. Amen. So this empowerment against sin, inability to think a productive thinking, is also a sin. It is not only when we defy ourselves that it's a sin. Whatever that is not up to God's standard, it is a sin. Amen. So by the grace of God, after this program, all of us should be really should be able to say we have really been empowered. Empowered to do something. Empowered to live a righteous life. Empowered not to lust. Because if we can detect our weakness and deal with it, brother, sister, by the end of this program, you will look at that weakness and you will not see it again. And it is not even your weakness, so it is only the part of the devil he threw to you. It is not your weakness. Amen. That character, nobody you get him. Now, devil character, he only just throw it and the person accept it. So it now become weakness. But if we throw it back to the devil, we'll be able to live a life pleasing unto God. If you are clapping to the glory of God, clap well. Clap well. Because the only test to be a child of God and the only test to be a son and a daughter of God is when they put you on the scale of holiness. Amen. The scale of holiness. Will sin be detected there? Will there be sin there? All through my life, if there is anything I've ever desired, I'm still praying to now. Say, Father, help me. It is in my spirit to live a righteous life. Whenever I see myself doing things that is not good, it is a cry. It is a cry. Amen. I cry to God to help me. I cry to God to deliver me. And that is also a sign of those that have given their life to Christ. Somebody who have not really surrendered to Christ, have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can swim in sin, nothing happens. Can swim in sin, nothing happens. But you can't be a child of God and you will commit sin and yet your life will remain the same. And angels must chastise you. You must lose your peace. Amen. You must lose your peace. So even this period, also know whom you are talking with. Also know whom you are walking with. From the 2nd of January till now, we have been praying. By now, you should be able to select your friends. Amen. You should be able to select your friends. There are friends you may be close to outside of Bride Assembly, and they are your sin. They are your sin. They don't have what is in you cannot manifest because of the discussion they are engaging you in. Except you detach yourself from them, that is when you can see clearly. Amen. Be empowered against sin. And one story of a man that was really empowered against sin was Joseph. Joseph was in Potiphar's house. No wonder the story of Joseph is very sweet. Amen. It was important. Anywhere you keep him, the glory shine. Because it was a man that was running away from sin. Potiphar's wife tried everything possible to lure him into sin. Joseph said no. And he made a comment. He said, how can I? Can we see Genesis chapter 39 verse 9? Which time I always wonder about this statement. Anytime I look at this statement, Genesis chapter 39 verse 9. Genesis chapter 39 verse 9. IT, help us. He said, there is no greater in this house than I. That was a statement of Joseph. A man that his heart is after God. Neither has my master kept anything back from me but thee. That's the wife he's talking about. Because thou art his wife. How then? That's the statement I'm looking at. How then can I do this great wickedness? A man was in fellowship with God and he got to a level to be able to make this statement. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? A man got to that estate. Serving God is not a mad talk. Amen. Serving God is not a mad talk. It is a spiritual thing. Until we are able to deal with sin, we will be able to get there. And that was how he ran away from Potiphar's wife, unknowing to Joseph that God was clapping for him in heaven. He was in the prison, but God, angel was celebrating him. Because God is as well looking at who can defend this word that we preach. Who can present it the way to be acceptable. And Joseph presented it in his time. And God said, don't worry, I have a plan for you. Amen. And God was planning for Joseph to become a prime minister in Egypt. Because he ran away from sin. No man can stop you, can stop me. The only thing that can stop you and I is sin. If there is an evil uncle that exists, let's check ourselves. Because if we purge ourselves of sin, there will be no evil uncle anywhere. Let's bow our head and begin to talk to God. Let's bow our head and begin to talk to God. Let's bow our head and begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to God. Give me the power to do your will. Give me the power to do your will. In Jesus' name we've prayed. The Lord is giving us the manna for every day. If you've been blessed by that exhortation, can you put your hands together for the Lord? I always wonder, how will Potiphar's wife have felt the day she heard that Joseph became the prime minister? How would she have felt? I always wonder. Thank you so much, Brother Kingsley. You know, everybody is fasting. So sometimes the things that we've been saying before the fast, maybe because of too much food, is not entering. But now that everybody is fasting, it will be able to have direct access. Thank God that we did not break our fast by 3 p.m. in this apartment. So you must hear the word of God before you eat. The Lord will strengthen us all. Once again, let's appreciate God for that powerful exhortation. There is empowerment. When you say you are receiving empowerment, that means you are being given power. You are receiving power. But in the English language, there is also disempowerment.
To empower is to receive power. To be empowered is to receive power. To be disempowered is to be stripped of power. Samson was stripped of his power when his hair was cut off. When Brother Kingsley was speaking, I was just taking notes. If God gives you power, he has empowered you. But I want you to know that sin can disempower you. That means God can give you power today, but sin can disempower you tomorrow. And I love the analysis he did with the flashlight of our phone. So to really live in power, in fact, the greatest form of power is the power to live above sin. Because even if God gives you power to do anything and sin is present, sin will disempower you. So the greatest empowerment, the greatest power we need this period is the power to live above sin. And one area I want to focus on, in addition to what my beloved brother has said, one particular area of sinfulness I want to focus on. But before I mention it, I know you know the story of David. David was mightily anointed. He was very powerful. As a youth, he killed a bear. He killed a lion. As a youth, not even a man in Israel, he killed even a giant. Then when he became a man, running up and down from wilderness to wilderness, Saul could not get him. When he became king, David was destroying enemy nations. He got so strong that the men that followed David, the power was rubbing up on them. That they will even sit in the palace and they will go and fight. Then when they finish the battle, they will tell him, we'll come and collect the crown on top of the king. You can see that in 2 Samuel 8. That was how powerful David was. But you know, let's read something. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 13. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us... You're not reading with me. I know we are hungry, don't worry. You need to eat this food before you eat the physical one. Arise and let us flee. David, the mighty man. Is it not the same David that Goliath came? Goliath came and David was talking anyhow to Goliath. The same David. That when Goliath even saw, Goliath was so angry. That what kind of insult is this? See the little boy. Emmanuel, come. Emmanuel, come. Come now, I want to use you for it. No, not you. Little Emmanuel. Not Brother Emmanuel. Come now. Are you afraid? I want to use you for a demonstration. Edan Hansen, please come too. Come here. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy, Emmanuel. Come and stand. Yeah. Elder, please stand there. No, I wish Elder is even taller. Isabella, come. It's like Emmanuel is taller than you. Who is taller? They are the same height. Emmanuel is taller. Yeah, Emmanuel, go and sit down. Isabella, you come. Because I want somebody that is so tiny. So tiny that can stand. Let's assume. But the height difference between David and Goliath is more than this. A little boy, I know you're a girl, sorry, came before a great giant. He was so angry that he was cursing. What kind of insult is this? So I imagine that this small girl wants to challenge you. Let's assume we are still in the world. This guy is insulting you. It's just one blow. There's something we used to say before. One blow, seven die. It's just one blow. Bah. See how tiny she is. I beg. Sebampo. That kind of thing. You know, please go and sit down. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Elder. That was how it was. And David stood and was talking back at Goliath. But brethren, something happened. Goliath boasted. No, Goliath did not even boast. It was David that boasted. Goliath was just, he was so certain. But David was powerful and David brought down Goliath. But where we are reading, can you show me that verse again? This time around, David is telling, the same David that was telling Saul and the Israelites, why is everybody running away from these giants? Why is everybody running away from these big giants? It's the same David now that is telling others, arise and let us flee. Arise and, between 1 Samuel 17, where David killed Goliath, and between 2 Samuel 15, there was 2 Samuel 11, where David sinned. If the only thing we will pick from this empowerment is the effect of sin, the consequences of sin, and the blessings that follow righteousness, we are empowered for this year. Brothers and sisters, sin opens doors for Satan to have authority over us. Sin brings us under satanic bondage, subjects us to Satan. When Jesus says we are seated up in him, in Christ, above principalities and power, sin removes you from the heavenly place and brings you under Satan. Sin disempowers. That's the truth. Sin disempowers. And when we talk about sin, many a times our attention is always drawn to fornication. That's the first area where people emphasize. But this afternoon, I want to emphasize another type of sin. Covetousness. The love of money. Covetousness, more specifically. Covetousness can mean any form of desire, but more specifically, the love of money. That's the area I want to emphasize. The love of money or the love of material things. Covetousness. Let's quickly see Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. Joshua 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in their coasting. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, what did he do? Took of their coasting. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Read on. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. They are few. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 people. So there went up the leader of the people, about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gates, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell down upon the ground upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought us over Jordan? Is it to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? You should have let us on the other side of Jordan. We would have been content there. Verse 8. Lord, what will I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land, they will hear of this, that it is this little country that destroyed us. And they'll be encouraged to gather themselves and come and finish us. What will you do to your great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Why are you lying down upon your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have taken of their coasting, and have also what? Stolen. And dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Praise the living God. Now, you know what happened and what followed. Then God told Joshua to call them family by family. Then at the end, Achan confessed. Let's go to verse 20. Joshua 7 verse 20, where we are reading. So that you will see the sin of Achan. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and I have done thus, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils, when I saw a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then what did I do? I coveted them and took them." Brethren, it's easy to point at fornication as sin. Everybody knows the danger of fornication. We know that fornication is bad. But sin is sin. Covetousness is also sin. If fornication can disempower you, covetousness can also disempower you. And the funny thing is, many of us Christians in this evil generation, we have allowed covetousness to take hold of us. Any right, any wealth that you will not get in righteousness, let it not come your way. If you need to bend, if you need to lie, if you need to steal, if you need to set trap for people so that you will get a position, so that you will get a blessing, so that you get wealth, so that you will get an advantage, that is covetousness. That is sin. Money is good. Everybody needs money. One of the effects of the fall of man is that we now live in a materialistic world. If you don't have money, it's as if you are living in hell. But brother, sister, let your getting money not rob you of righteousness. If you will tell me that this is Japan and you know it's China, if you will tell me that this is Japan or Germany and you know it's China, but so that you will have more money, you know it's China, not just is it China, you know that this thing will not last more than 6 months. But if you tell me to this one, I guarantee you 6 years, walai. Makachuku, I guarantee you 6 years. If you tell me that, because you want to make money from me, covetousness has gotten a hold of you. Don't come and give us testimony and say, "God blessed you," when your blessing is from covetousness. You lied to make gain, or you stole to make gain. God is not involved in such blessings. If I have to slander people, others, so that what they could have gotten will come to me, I will make Brother Emmanuel to aid Sister Joy so that Brother Emmanuel will come and be, you become my customer. Even in the church, there's customer. So that you become my customer. So that the way you used to maybe bless her before, you will stop blessing her. I will not be your favorite. So that those big credit alerts you used to send her, you start sending to me. Covetousness has gotten the hold of me. Brethren, if you want to walk in power this year, remove covetousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read it from verse 3. 1 Timothy 6:3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." The Bible says, "From such withdraw thyself." People that preach that the only reason you are poor or the reason you don't have money is because you are not holy. You know, I heard a man of God says that a poor man cannot preach holiness. Let's read on. Let's read on, please. Verse 6, sorry. What did the Bible say? Godliness with contentment is what? "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothes, let us be there with content." Verse 9. "They that will be rich, they that will to be rich, they that by all means want to get money, they will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. What does it do? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Finally, he says, O man of God, woman of God, what should you do? Flee these things. Let me ask us a question. What can you do for money? What can you do for money? Thank God for social media. I've seen church members dancing worldly songs and singing worldly songs because of money. I advertise my product now. So I want to advertise my product. I must be singing, let me see you, lo, 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 and I should be, brother, covetousness are certain, no. Forget it. Covetousness are certain. That's the truth. Covetousness are certain already. So there's no more, why can I not use marvelous God to advertise my product? At least everybody claims there's God in this part of the world. Everybody acknowledges God. Why should I use low, 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 and I'll be dancing it? I'll be dancing it. When I see some status of many church members, as a preacher, I weep. Because what many of us are doing in order to make money, we have crossed the line between righteousness and unrighteousness. What can you do for money? See what scripture says. Let's see Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. See, the love of money has brought many people into problem with God. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, now Bible, than great treasure and what? If you like, don't answer me. I will keep saying it. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Let's also see it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Oh, sorry. Verse 8. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8. Better is a little with what? Than great without right. Psalm 37, verse 16. Psalm 37, verse 16. So when we're talking about walking in power this year, one of the sins we should deal with is covetousness. Yes, he said, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. So if I have to lie, steal, fight, set up people, slander people, in order for me to get money, then I am no more walking in righteousness. So that question remains, what can you do for money? There's a brother I've been watching that has been consistent in this program. Every evening he comes, and this is a multi-millionaire. He comes to this program regularly. And when I see such people, I'm just excited. Because you are seeing somebody that is wealthy, up to the extent that in his marketplace, they are accusing him of being an occultic man because of the way God is blessing him. And yet, see the way he's following his God. But many of us, thank you, many of us, it is because we want to get money that we are far from God. Do you know that Satan tempted the Lord Jesus with covetousness? Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read from verse 8, Matthew 4. So when we're talking of sin this year, thank God I'm not fornicating. Your own might not be fornication if there is covetousness in you. you are in the same condemnation with the person fornicating. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Showed him what? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory. Satan was trying to entice Jesus with the glory of the world. And he said, all these things will I give you if you will fall and worship me. Many of us are falling. We are falling. What can you do for money, or what can't you do for money? Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the Bible says Satan left him. What can you do for money? If you have to bend your faith because you want money, you have left the path of righteousness. If you have to bend your faith because you want money, you have left the... See, any wealth that God cannot give you in righteousness... I don't understand. We are praying that God bless me. You are praying he should bless you, but you want to be his enemy for him to bless you. Why can't that God bless me in righteousness? If I have to enter unrighteousness before God blesses me, it is not God blessing me. I am bowing to the temptation of Satan. He said, he entices us. What the Lord Jesus faced, all of us are facing it too. Those 3 points of temptation. The first point of temptation was his condition. He had finished fasting for 40 days. The Bible says he was hungry. That was the first point of temptation. If you are the Son of God, why not turn these stones to bread? He used his condition for him first. The second one, you say you are a son of God, Abi. Son of God, Abi. Pride of life. Why not cast yourself down? Show off. Then the third one was the lust of the eye. Covetousness. See all these things that we give you. Just worship me. Are you indirectly worshiping Satan because you want money? If God cannot meet you in righteousness, then let him not meet you. If my God cannot bless me in righteousness, that means he can't bless me. If you are walking in the pathway of unrighteousness and you are receiving blessings from God, and truly he's the only one you are holding on to, you are praying and he's blessing you, you're a Samaritan and not a Christian. No, it's the truth. He's doing it to deceive you. He's doing it because that is all. You will enjoy the goodness of the land, but the kingdom doesn't belong to you. If you're indeed a child of God, every child of God knows that God is their source. God, and how God provides for us is supernatural. He breaks protocols. He does miracles. When God is blessing us, he doesn't need our connection or intellect. He knows what to do to open doors. So why can't he give me my blessing in righteousness? Why must I adulterate products? Why must I lie? Why must I steal? Why must I falsify figures? Why must I set up people? Why must I slander people so that we get benefits? I have left the party of righteousness. That is covetousness. Brother and sister, if there's any sin, is sin. So if you are only thinking, this year is only for these preachers have been hammering fornication, is good. In addition to your fornication, if there is covetousness in your life, run from it too. Run from it. The scripture we read, there's only one part that we focused on. Let's read it again. That Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8. Let's first do Proverbs 15, 16, where we read the first one. Proverbs 15, 16. Proverbs 15, 16. It says what? Better is little with the fear of God than great treasure and what? That means that one that you are getting without the fear of God, the end is trouble. Proverbs 16:8. That's how to read that scripture. Because it's contrasting the two. Proverbs 16, verse 8. If there is no consequence to iniquity, then God will not stop us from committing iniquity. Coming. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Okay, Psalm then. Let's see that of Psalm 37, verse 16. Psalm 37, verse 16. A little that a righteous man adds is what? Why will he say it's better than the riches of many wicked? Have you forgotten the scripture that says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and doeth what? That means it is better than that of many wicked, because theirs will go with sorrow. Any wealth you are getting outside Christ, especially you, the child of God, outside righteousness, sorrow must be attached to it. You may enjoy it at first, but the end will be very costly. So, brethren, in addition to, because the man of God here that preached was telling us, live above sin, we need to. But I want to use this medium to call your attention to that particular sin that many of us are becoming guilty of. It's covetousness. And Satan is making it more difficult, because everything is becoming, you just need money. It's difficult to survive without money in this generation. But brethren, we are not going to let go of our righteousness because we want money. We are going to pray. As in the pain you reach, pray, Father, provide for me. God did not say we'll be poor. But let's not fall for the cheap temptations of Satan to quickly help us to become wealthy, to make us rich fast. You know, many people fight others because of what they will get. Christians, so. Many people fight others. You are not at peace with another person. Even in the church, maybe some people are fighting Deacon Oyeze, the welfare deacon, because of material things. Deacon, every time you go, share this one for this group. I see you now, I want to come, Deacon. No vex. Why you know they give me anything? And they can become his enemy. That's covetousness. And in fact, there's another one. Person will get money, live on their money, must he give you? When you start saying, when you start slandering people, see this sister now, her legs off, she they drive. She get money, but she know they do anything for us. In the church, language of Christians. Now, if it is men of God now, of course, because we see a lot of things in this church, that itself is covetousness. There are many people that receive their breakthrough from this church, but they don't reciprocate back. Do you know a brother made a statement? I pray that in your house or office, you are hearing this now. A brother was in need, and we said, myself and men president, we said, let's get a group of brethren that can contribute. Let's meet this need. And men president was calling the big boys in the ministry. A few big boys. This brother is wealthy. Called him. Do you know his response? Let church take care of that needs, Joe. Church has money. See the building that church is building within how many months. See where they don't raise them to. A church member. He said, see the building church is building. Within how many months, see where church don't reach. Church get money, I beg, let them take care of it. And this is a multi-millionaire speaking. When the men's president heard it, his head sparked. So he told me, I said, who will be the brother? He mentioned your name, and as they see you, and they greet you. I know go challenge you. Now your money. Now, as men of God, we're always bothered. There are people that come to the church and receive, God will use your prayer, prophecy to intervene in that case. They'll be blessed, and in no way will they sponsor the ministry. I'm not saying the man of God. So, of course, as men of God, we'll be talking. We were still discussing on Wednesday that see these people. See multi-millionaires and billionaires in the church. And church will be calling for offering. They'll not give anything. It is a wonder to us. Now, that I'm trying to emphasize that is not covetousness. We're only talking because it makes sense. But you, the personal person, he don't know you. Now, church, you meet them. Because you don't see saying they drive fine car. They wear fine clothes. Don't start calling somebody stingy. Is his money, is our money, leave her alone. If not, it might be covetousness has got ahead of you. What is giving you that right mentality? What makes you have a right? What makes that sense of entitlement? What gives you that mentality that you are entitled to our wealth? Are you the prophet that prayed for her? And that is covetousness. Let's be careful about that. And even you that got the breakthrough in the ministry and you don't reciprocate, love of money has got a hold of you. It's the truth. So it's something we must be watch out for this year. Don't do anything unrighteous to make money. That's my message. Brother Kingsley has mentioned sin. He was talking about that, like, every time we are always hammering fornication. Everybody that is not fornicating now, we think is a saint. If you are not fornicating and you are unrighteously making money, you are not a saint, or you are a sinner too. You and the fornicator, you are in the same position. Are we together, brethren? What can you do for money? Let us sing it. So if you are going to walk in power, because in the Bible, we saw people that lost their power because of money. I should give you one example. Gehazi. Elisha inherited a double portion of the anointing on Elijah just because he served Elijah. So if you are going by that ratio, Elisha would have, Gehazi was next in line now. Because the prophets did not have their servants by accident. They chose them and it's expected that something will rub off. But Gehazi forfeited a glory. As we are hearing about Elisha, we would also have been hearing good about Gehazi today. But he forfeited a glorious ministry, a glorious destiny, because of sharp. You know the question that Elisha asked him? He said, is it time to inherit vineyards, silver, gold? That means there is time for it. But Gehazi is not the time for it. Because after Naaman received his blessing and confirmed that the God of Israel is real, he's still going back to his gods, to his idolatry. What message are we going to pass to him if we collect his wealth and there is no change? He said, go. Naaman forced Elisha, take the blessing. He said, no. You hear the statement of Gehazi. Let's read it. Somebody think I'm saying story. The Bible story at the talk. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's read from verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 20. And it came to pass. I hope I'm not missing it. Sorry. Story of Gehazi. 2 Kings 6. Just a minute, please. Oh, sorry. 2 Kings 5 from verse 20, not 6. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, hey, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, to God who made me, religious person, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. See where covetousness comes in. The fact that you desire to be rich is not covetousness. It is when you have to go out of righteousness to make money. That is when it becomes covetousness. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, it's all well. And he said, all is well. First lie, my master has sent me. When was the last time you told a lie so that you make money? You're in Gehazi's club. My master has sent me. Second lie, behold, two men just came from Ephraim and they are prophets. That's lie number two. I pray thee, give a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Now even talk, waiting go collect. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. So you see, it's even twisted. Naaman is now begging him. He wanted one talent, so Naaman is saying, no, take two. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants and they bear them before him. Ha! And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and he let the men go and they departed. Why did he take them to Elisha? But he went in and stood before his master. You know, we are quick to quote the way of an adulterous woman. She heated and wiped her mouth and said, I've done no wickedness. The way of a covetous man too. He will go and stand before his master and do as if he has done nothing wrong. And Elisha said unto him, where are you coming from, Gehazi? And he said, me, I did not go anywhere. How many lies now? And he said unto him, because Elisha is a prophet, went not my heart with thee. Even when the man turned from his chariot to meet you, I was seeing you. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and men servants? The leprosy thereof of the man shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. That was the end of Gehazi and Elisha. Covetousness is dangerous. So let God turn his light in our hearts. If you must come out of righteousness to make wealth, God is not involved in it. Everybody will testify now. It's God that gave me this. Even Yahoo boy will testify. My God don't pay. Shout hallelujah. Sorry, it was a song that I sang when I was in the world. I know the song. We sang it before I became a Christian. My God don't pay. He said, shout hallelujah. That's Yahoo language. He's telling you that I have scammed somebody. The fool has paid. Help me shout hallelujah. But it's funny, but that's what some Christians are indirectly doing. What can you do for money? Can you come out of the pathway of righteousness so that you make money? If you can, covetousness has gotten a hold of you. That will rob you of power. Let's be on our feet. So you should know the area where you tell God, Father, deal with me. Deal with me concerning this area. Touch me. Do this. Deal with me. Line by line, let's come to the pulpit.